Whoa. Why the fuck? Are you still there?
What's going on, Pearl Jam Nerds? You're listening to Single Podcast Theory. I'm Brad Lyons.
And I'm Brad Blazek.
I just pulled a Brad B with my name.
You did. That's why I'm laughing.
I said it really weird. Like I've never said it before.
Mm. It's difficult, isn't it?
No.
It's not so easy to say your own name, is it?
It's very easy. Was that Siri noise on my end or yours?
It had to be on yours.
Oh, I got a new phone, dude.
What? Is that why? How you sent me that creepy lesbian emoji of yourself?
Yeah.
Is that a new feature of the whatever 10?
The animojis, 10S? Bro.
Yeah.
You like, so you know, weird. It gives you all those choices and you kind of like build yourself, right?
Yo, did you build that?
Yeah, and here's the disturbing thing is that it's, given the choices,
it's so weird.
I had to go for like the more feminine version.
Oh yeah, I could tell.
You know what I'm saying?
It's like a feminine version of you with a 5 o'clock shadow.
Yeah, I'm like man beard lady.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, it's so weird. I sent it to Aiden, right? Like I just finished doing it, putting it together or whatever. And I said something to him, and then his response was just no punctuation, nothing, just one line: "You look like a girl."
Yeah, yeah. That's. I was like, "What is this?" And then I saw the like stubble, and I'm like, "Is that supposed to be lions?"
Oh, I'm a monster. God. I mean, so I tried to make it more masculine. Honestly, yeah. I did, but then it just didn't look like me. It looked like I just had some dude as a emoji. You know?
Yeah. It's very weird.
It is. I'm going to keep it, though, I think.
Yeah, I'm going to work on it right now.
I'm going to work on it. All right, anyway.
I like the smile at the end.
Well, because, you know how it works, right? I mean, it's recording me saying it and turning it into the thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Please, let's stop talking about this.
Yeah.
Let's talk about yield emails, man.
Yes. Yeah.
So that was a pretty big, a long-awaited episode.
Yeah.
How'd you feel about it? We haven't
fucking talked or anything. Yeah.
You slipped away in the morning.
Yeah.
Like you do every time.
I didn't want to wake you up.
Yeah, I get it. It's cool, man.
It was early. It was like 7:30. I figured.
Didn't even leave a note.
I texted you. That's the notes of the new millennium.
Mm-hmm. Go on now. What were you saying?
Not that it doesn't matter.
Yeah. So
I stood over your sleeping body for like 10 minutes and you never woke up. So I'm like, well, I'm just going to go.
Gross. You're so gross. I can't believe I let you into my home.
Usually if someone wakes up...
Let you around my child.
Yeah.
Usually what?
If someone wakes up in the first, like, 5 or 10 minutes, you know, then it's cool. But you didn't.
You're so messed up.
You don't ever just stand over, like, you ever go to Clint's and just hang out?
And stand over him while he sleeps?
Yes.
No. Do you do that when you go to Clint's?
No.
No? But you no, would do that to me?
That would be weird. That would be weird.
Yeah, if you did that to Clint.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. We have very different standards.
He doesn't listen to this, does he?
Oh, yeah. He does. Well, he used to. We might have ran him off. I don't know.
I might have. Well, if I haven't, I just did.
No, I doubt it. All right, I've totally lost my train of thought.
Where are we? What are we, what are we talking about?
Yeah, we decided that we didn't really get to talk all week, and we didn't want to just like kind of throw together a topic episode, and we didn't have enough time to get it together. And we got a lot of email from the Yield episode that was very specific to that episode. So we figured we would kind of go through some of those emails and cover some of the reactions and topics that you guys brought up after listening to the episode, because there's some really, really good stuff in there as far as the emails go. So Brad picked some out for us. Thanks, Brad.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I remember what I was trying to get to, and I don't know what tangent we went off on, but how did you feel about the episode afterwards?
Oh, I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
And I was pleasantly surprised at Matthew, because he really knows his shit.
Oh, dude. You know? Yeah.
Because, yeah. You know him, but I don't.
Sure.
I've never met him or talked to him, so I'm like, I don't know how much he's going to know or not know.
Dude's got some facts.
Yeah, he could replace one of us.
Oh, hell yeah.
If you had to.
Oh, hell yeah. I like hearing his... It's cool to hear certain little facts and stuff, that little nuggets of knowledge that he might know or whatever, but my favorite part is hearing him just kind of give his own take on a song, apart from the facts, just his own subjective ideas about a song and what he thinks about it, because he's coming from such a specific songwriter perspective. You know right. what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
It's cool to hear some of that insight or whatever. So, and it was just awesome for you guys to meet, and I got an excuse to hang out with, you know, one of my fucking best buds, one of my brothers. So, thanks again, Matthew, for coming on. You want to get started on some Yield emails, man? All right, first up on the Yield emails is from our good friend Patrick Bogle,
yes.
aka Bagel. And I was hoping we'd get some literary shit from him, and we did. So he says, So the book Ishmael by Daniel Quinn had a heavy influence on Yield. The whole band supposedly dove into it prior to and during the first recording sessions for the record. Vetter is quoted as saying the book is almost like the liner notes for the record. Faithful, maybe even more so than Do the Evolution, really steps into the themes of Ishmael. I always took the lyric as a pretty literal allusion. You go places, and historical places have markers, signs, plaques that indicate why they are meaningful. This was Vetter more or less saying the spread of humanity is so far and wide, which is the theme from Ishmael, that here we have this. Here we have found this unique place we've adorned with a plaque because it has not been overrun by humankind, especially within being followed up with the lyric, a bridge that has not been around or been stepped on. I have not reread Ishmael since 1998, but it is worth revisiting, and if fans have not read it, it basically should be required listening or reading to listen to Yield. Let me say that again. It basically should be required reading to listen to Yield. The evolution of Brain of Jay from the lyrics when it was live in 1995, though I still imagine there's a studio run at it from the No Code sessions, only logical, to the Yield version is heavily influenced by the book. Brain of Jay circa 1995 is a much more raw, angry, unapologetic song with little sunshine to it. The Yield version at least finds the possible silver lining. It is subtle, but I think that is the change of the whole world will be different soon. Faithful is the let me tell you why things will be different. Myths are about to be torn down. It barely ends there. You can find connective tissue and allusions to the book in nearly every song. Damn. He wrote a thesis.
Look, we put the bagel signal out, and he he responded.
That's true. There is very a graphic. Quickly. I love it.
Yeah, I love that. I love it.
Yeah.
Have you ever read Ishmael?
I actually have not, and I'm going to now.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Have you read it?
I read it way back in the day. I think they put out a newsletter, like the 10 Club newsletter that year, that mentioned, you know, I think it was a contest. I think the contest was to read the book and, like, write a book report style thing and send it back to them. Something like that.
Interesting. I think I vaguely remember something like that. But
yeah, it hasn't been since then that I've thought about it, so I might be wrong about that. But yeah, I remember reading it back then. It didn't really stick with me too much, but I wouldn't mind reading it again.
Yeah, I need to. There's a couple other books that I need to buy. I'm just going to add that to the list and just do it. See what that changes. Yield's already, you know, like my number two record, or it fights for right. number two anyway.
Yeah. Did you ever see they made a movie?
Ishmael?
Yeah. I think it's old, right?
What's that?
No, it was around like 98, 99.
Oh, really?
I think it was called Instinct with,
Sharon Stone?
No.
Oh, hey. My bad.
You're close. No, who's Hannibal Lecter?
Anthony Hopkins?
Yeah. And then Show Me the Money.
Cuba Gooding Jr.? Yeah, Cuba Gooding.
Yeah, yeah. And Anthony Hopkins, like, plays the ape in the movie. Like, they changed the ape to a human.
Okay.
It's one of those movies where they take a lot of liberties with the book. It's not like
a direct same. Representation of it.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then I just need to read the book then.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't worry about the movie.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Bagel. Thanks for sending that.
Yeah.
Out.
Yeah. Brain of Jay. Did you know it goes back to 95?
I feel like I remember. Man, that's so long ago when you really sit and think about it.
I didn't know that.
I feel like I remember having some sort of reference or recording. I just remember that when I got Yield, I had already heard Brain of Jay.
Really?
In some form. Yeah. So, like, the first track thing when I saw that wasn't, I mean, it was a surprise because I'd only heard it live, but,
yeah,
I do remember that being something I had heard before somehow. I don't know. But I don't remember anything about it. I need to try and find that if it exists.
It does. He just sent us, like, 5 minutes before we started, he sent a...
Oh, really?
A link? He didn't... No, actually, I don't think he even sent a link, but he just told me, like, or he emailed us, like, they played it. There's one video of it from a certain date, and I looked it up, and it's on YouTube. So, yeah, it's pretty cool. The song, it sounds pretty much the same, but... The lyrics are definitely different.
I'll have to look that up when we get done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks, Bagel. Who you got next?
Who do I have next?
You got Tom.
Tom Leahy? Leahy? Yeah. He starts with a quote from the Smithsonian Magazine in 1999. And it's, quote, driven by duty to present himself to the citizens of the shaky new union, he spent the night in so many inns and private houses that, quote, unquote, George Washington slept here became a real estate cliche. He says, I think the first line of Faithful is kind of a precursor to the song Insignificance. To me, it's like the narrator wants to get a joke plaque to put on the side of their house. No one slept here. Not just to poke fun at inflating the importance of where famous people once lay their heads, but to remind people that significant events happen everywhere. In other words, houses house people, bridges are walked on, and people face challenges similar to those that were faced by those who came before. I think the lyrics here share some of the relief expressed in Insignificance about not having to take your life as an individual so seriously. relief, and a profound awareness that this means our relationships with the people around us are much more significant and important than achieving some sort of immortal or iconic status. Therefore, it is even more impressive that the instrumental music of Faithful transitions so seamlessly into a song with the chorus, "I'm not trying to make a difference."
Yeah, man.
Another really good take on the, you know, the plaque on the wall.
Yeah, totally.
In Faithful. Because that was kind of like, I've never really known what that meant, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But here it's almost like what Tom is saying is like Eddie's kind of making a joke, you know, like
maybe, yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Nobody famous has slept here. So like in contrast to like George Washington slept here, he's saying nobody
right
important has slept. That's what I took it as, what Tom is saying
here. No, me too. And I mean, and obviously, I never would have thought of it that way.
Me either.
And it's funny too to hear him talk about like being a kind of a precursor to insignificance, and then Tom says about not having to take your life as an individual so seriously. And I think that's really interesting because that's not how I take the song Insignificance at all. But I'm not saying I'm right and he's wrong or vice versa. Mm-hmm. It's just so funny how I take a song like Insignificance as the people that are being talked down to or destroyed or oppressed, or it's a negative kind of top-down insignificance, as opposed to, you know, he's kind of talking about this, like, we are so small in this right. universe or whatever, like, you can't take things so seriously. And that's just a whole different angle on that same word, you know? I just like hearing people's takes on these songs and joining them together and in ways that I'd never in a million years would have thought of.
Yeah, definitely. That's why I was telling somebody else that, like, I love hearing people's, you know, interpretations of these lyrics, because I feel like, you know, I'm not like the smartest guy, so I can't like, I take lyrics like super literally, and that's like some stuff doesn't make sense.
No, I was gonna say, yeah, that doesn't always work.
So we get people like Bagel and Tom and some of these other people that emailed us in and telling us what they think it means, and it's just like, oh, like that makes so much more sense than my literal translation of it.
Yeah. I hear you. Well, thanks for the email, Tom. That's really cool.
Yeah, dude. Thank you.
All right. Our good friend John Farrar is up next. He says, Brads of Jay, we've already gone back and forth about Yield more than once, so I'll make this short and sweet. When the album title came out, it was a big deal. They had just lost the Ticketmaster lawsuit, and No Code had been a commercial disappointment. Everyone jumped on the title as Pearl Jam is giving up. They couldn't have been more wrong. To me, the overall theme of the record is not being happy with where you are and wanting to be someone or somewhere or something else. It's all over the lyrics in nearly every song. That's universally relatable to 99% of people. This record would have been huge had it come out in 1974 or 2008. 1998 just wasn't the time for it. I'm like an opening band for the sun, means staying up all night, maybe playing some guitar, maybe just driving around and feeling alone in the world. That's my take, at least. Interestingly, they go back to this record more live than any other except the first three. I wish I was a radio song, the one you could turn off. Or, sorry, turn on. John. Thanks, John. Yeah, and that's just another perspective of, like, I don't know, the many ways you can look at an album. You can dissect it by song, and then how all those create maybe a theme over the album, but then it can also represent where the band is as, for lack of a better term, a business, you know, as a brand, as this thing. And all of those different angles are true and kind of happening at the same time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, you know, he talks about 98 wasn't the time for it. I mean, I think part of that is because they kind of dropped off so much with No Code.
Right.
You know, because it was, I remember at the time, it kind of was, felt like a comeback for them. But
yeah, that's how I always felt like people talked about it.
If they had already been there, it would have been a monster album, you know? But John was the first one to talk about I'm like an opening band for the sun, that lyric. Because, like, I love that lyric, but I don't even know what it means. But he's saying that, like, you know, I just what he was saying here is, like, staying up all night.
Right.
Maybe, like, playing music and then driving home as the sun's coming up.
Right.
I just see that it goes back to Eddie, like, having a sense of humor. It's like he's joking about the fact that he's been up all night and here comes the sun. Like, I'm done, like, playing music or partying or whatever.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know.
He sets a really high bar for lyrics if you, like, start digging into them. Because, you know, you take someone saying literally, you know, I've been staying up all night and working hard and driving home when the sun's coming up and da-da-da. Like, what's more interesting, that or I'm like an opening band for the goddamn sun?
Right.
Yeah. I'll take option B as a lyric. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's so cool.
Yeah.
The way he plays with words like that, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway. You got anything else about that one?
No. Thanks, John.
Thanks, John. You got Matt next.
I do. Matt Massey, isn't it?
Yeah, man.
Hey, boys. Well, well, well. I feel like talking about Yield. This masterpiece of a record has been my favorite Pearl Jam album for 20 years. Second overall, only behind London Calling. That's The Clash, right?
Yeah.
With Yield, it's a little editing on the fly. Yeah. With Yield, I've always felt that the sum is greater than the parts. Not that these aren't great songs, all of them are, but the flow and overall feel of this album is what speaks to me. If I were to rank every single song in Pearl Jam's catalog, I'd bet that No Code, Vitalogy, and Verses would all have more of their songs higher up in the rankings. This was always referenced as their return to form album, which always slightly annoyed me. I don't think that it's a return to form as much as it's a return to a more collaborative writing process that wasn't as prevalent since 10. I believe in Single Video Theory, Eddie mentioned that he asked the guys for some help in shouldering the songwriting to take some pressure off of him. Well, it shows. We can all agree that Jeff and Stone are great songwriters in their own right, and combining them with Ed and even Mike getting into it more than ever is the main catalyst that produced this gem. You can also tell by listening that this is a band that is a lot more comfortable with themselves and their place in music at that time. While No Code and Vitalogy were the fuck it, we're doing things our way to survive as a band records, Yield is the fuck it, Yield is the fuck it, we're doing things our way because we survived the storm and came out the other side stronger as a band. Actually, now that I think about it, they were always like, fuck it, we're doing things our way. And then insert the reasoning for that time period. But for Yield, they get to the point of no pressure, just making the best music possible as a band without the internal strife.
Yeah, man.
I think he's right.
I agree.
I think I've said it too, but it's people like always say like, oh, this was a comeback. This was a return to form for them. And I'm just like, motherfuckers, they didn't go anywhere like you did.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
right.
they kept making records and they made good records. You know, Vitalogy and No Code are fucking awesome. So for people to be like, oh, it's their comeback, I'm just like, ugh.
whatever. Well, but you have to understand. I mean, I guess I'm just playing devil's advocate because, mm-hmm. and we all know that No Code is my favorite record, as it is yours. Yeah. But I'm still going to say, like, I totally get why people didn't like No Code. And I'm glad they put obviously glad they put it out or whatever. But I think from the general public standpoint, it was a return to form. I get why they would say that. Yeah. But if you were on, you know, if you were hanging in there the whole time and even loved the stuff that people didn't like, yeah, it was no surprise. It wasn't anything new, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
I just remember that the public opinion changing with that record a lot. So well, and it does, and we might have talked about this before, we might have even talked about on the Yield episode, but he kind of brings up this point about, and I think it answers a lot of questions that people could ask of this band as far as how they have such radically different personalities and have still maintained a relationship as humans, but also as musicians and also as, you know, business partners or whatever. And it all comes down to the songwriting, and most people don't have, I won't call it a luxury, but it, I guess it kind of is, like a lot of bands typically have a songwriter, right? Maybe you'll have a duo within a four or five piece. But you're talking about a band with Pearl Jam where it's like, if Eddie's shit's not happening, Mike's got great songs lying around, and Stone's got great songs lying around, and Jeff has them, and Matt has them, Jack had them, Dave had them. You know what I mean? Like, you're getting to pull from six pretty fucking strong, or five pretty strong songwriters. You know,
it's not.
We'd have a completely different band if Eddie was just the songwriter. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I never really thought about that before. But is there any other bands that have this degree of like collaborators? Because I mean,
there's not that many. I'm just
trying to think like off the top of my head. Like Metallica is Ulrich Hetfield every time,
right?
You know, like Green Day is Billy Joe every time. You know, I'm sure there's, you know, they get thrown a bone every once in a while, but for the most part, it's not like Pearl Jam, is it?
No, they're not the norm. We're like, there's not very many bands that have been together for this long that their fans can go, could listen to a record and go, oh, I bet this is a Jeff song,
right?
Or this has got to be that is such a Stone riff. You know what I mean? Like, each member has their own voice as a songwriter. It's pretty phenomenal. That's why they don't have dud records, man.
Yeah.
Anyway. That was a great email. Thanks, dude. Well, let's see. Where are we? Chris Thomas. Hi, Brad and Brad. I thoroughly enjoyed episode 67 on Yield with Matthew Mayfield. For me, there is no track on Yield that I find myself wanting to skip. I even loved The Color Red with Jack's percussion, with the speeding up and slowing down of tempo throughout the track. I've seen Push Me, Pull Me live, and I agree with Lion. Seeing it live really helped me enjoy the recorded version more. I've said previously that Verses is their most flawless album for me. However, I love Yield more because of the imperfection and eclectic nature of so many of the tracks on the album. I love music when it's a little weird, but still not too weird to where it becomes almost psychedelic and you can only enjoy it in the quote-unquote right mood. What I want to focus on is In Hiding. While I was on my two-week binge of Yield up until episode 67, I had In Hiding stuck in my head throughout most of those days. I've always enjoyed the track, but came to love it more over the past couple of weeks, especially after learning more about the origin of the lyric and Stone's creation of the music from a micro cassette recorder. Single Video Theory spends quite a bit of time on the song, showing an entire recording of it and the most elaborate camera work of any of the songs they perform on the DVD. They seem to prop up In Hiding more than any other track during Single Video Theory. The lyric has a lot of backstory to it. The main inspiration is from the work of Charles Bukowski, which was provided by a quote given to Eddie from Sean Penn. Eddie saying, he told Sean that sometimes he just has to check out for a few days. No people, no nothing. So he goes in hiding. Then he gets back and has the will to live once again. Eddie even went on a four-day speech fast, where by not opening his mouth, he was able to get into that state, which was taking a fast from life to get yourself back in touch with something real. There are so many powerful lines in the lyric, and after I thought more about this, I'll have to change my favorite lyric to the following. I swallowed my breath and went deep. I was diving. I surfaced and all around me was enlightened. In case for some random chance that Blazek has the epiphany of that movie, which was made as a semi-autobiography of Charles Bukowski, that movie's name, which I will save the potential 10-minute awkward silence, thank you so much, dude, is Barfly, starring Mickey Rourke
come up with it.
As Henry Chinaski, who is the literary alter ego of Bukowski in several different novels of his. There have been several times in my life where I wished I could check out and go in hiding for a while. Just get away from everything and try to find something real as described by Eddie. A lot of this year to me hasn't felt real. If anything, I tried to deny the fact that what is now around me is reality. Life is a constant game of adjustment, and sometimes I wish I could just take a break from it to slow everything down and find myself again. I've at least found part of myself again through this band. Last thing I wanted to mention or ask is if Lyons has any works of Charles Bukowski to suggest looking into. I would be very interested in checking it out. Forced to endure what I could not forgive, Chris. Thanks, Chris. Thoughts, Brad B?
I would love to get away for 4 days and not talk to anybody.
Yep. I know, man.
Yeah.
I think that if everyone could like just carve out like 30 minutes to an hour every day somehow to just like do that thing, whatever that thing is, to like just kind of chill you out and calm you down or whatever, the world would be a much different place.
Yeah.
Because I know like sometimes I have to just stop. I mean, we're both in the types of jobs where we're around people all day long.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's crazy because sometimes, like, I get so, like, I'm at work and I've got, like, I got to do this. And it's like, I just want to get done. Every once in a while, because I'll go all day until I'm done. But sometimes I'll be like, I'm going to stop. I have to stop or I'm going to, like, flip out. And I'm like, but I don't want to stop. I just want to get done. So most of the time I don't, but there's every once in a while I'll stop for just even like 5 or 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll be like, oh, I should do this every day because I feel so much better.
Yeah, that's
you know, what,
yeah,
if I just I know. Stop for 5 or 10 minutes.
Well, and that's one of the things, it sounds stupid, but being off the ciggies, the cigarettes, mm-hmm. I still make myself go outside as if I was smoking. To right. like to take that time, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
To just kind of,
yeah,
you know, get away from the computer screen and get outside, even if it's cold, just to be outside. Because if I don't watch myself, yeah. I'll be in the studio in this cave for 10 hours straight. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, there's something else about that email I was gonna. Oh, he asked about Bukowski. Yeah.
Yeah.
What'd you say?
Have you ever seen that movie?
I haven't seen that movie.
Oh, wait, no?
Uh-uh.
I saw it a long time ago because my dad...
I don't think I have. Because your dad what?
He was like an alcoholic like the whole time I was growing up.
Yeah.
And he was always like, yeah, that I love that movie. I guess he could really...
identify?
Relate. Yeah. With what's his name?
Bukowski.
Mickey Rourke.
The
character.
The character.
But yeah. So, but I haven't seen it since like 20 years ago at least. So I can't remember. I'd like to watch it again and try and get a different perspective, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, Bukowski, I'm a bigger fan of his poetry.
Mm-hmm.
So I see, I've got two books here on my desk, actually. What do I have? Love is a Dog from Hell. I think, let's see, Pleasure of the Damned. Yeah, those are the two I have on my desk right now that I kind of go to. He's a really fucked up dude, though, so don't, like, he can be pretty, like, depraved and raunchy, and which I would never obviously like want to emulate, but there's something about it with him that I don't know, for me he gets away with some really raw shit and it just kind of,
yeah,
it still works for some reason, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know, but yeah, I mean, his novels are good too, I'm not knocking those at all, but check out a couple of those books, like the two that I just mentioned, that are collections of his poetry. It's some pretty crazy shit. Me and Clint used to come home from the bar that was literally down the block when we lived together, and for a period of time, I think maybe 5 nights a week, we would get home and put on this Charles Bukowski documentary that I can't think of the name of right now, but it was Magnolia Pictures that put it out. That's really fucking great if you're interested in learning about him. So, end of Bukowski rant.
Is he still alive?
No.
No?
No, but, like, that's one of the things about him is he drank his ass off.
Yeah.
And at a relatively young age was told by a doctor, like, you drink another fucking drop and you could die anytime, kind of thing.
Mm.
And he was like, okay. And just, he was like, I don't think he slowed down at all. And he lived. I mean, he made it. He wasn't, you know, I don't think he was 50 when he died. I think he lived, especially considering what his lifestyle was like, a pretty long life. But anyway, I couldn't live like that, dude. I'd be dead. No. All right, what you got next?
Joe Scalfaro. Does that sound right?
Mm-hmm. I bet he pronounces it like Scalfaro.
Yeah, when he meets people. Hey, this is, I'm Joe. Joe
Scalfaro.
Scalfaro. Nice to meet you.
Mm-hmm.
This was such a great episode. Yield is probably my favorite album. With Low Light, my favorite Pearl Jam song.
Mm. Yep, there they are.
Starlin agrees.
Mm-hmm.
The harmonies and various instruments make this song so unique. I can't stop listening to it all of these years later. Sorry.
Are you okay?
I don't know what's wrong with me today. The summer after Yield came out, I went with my high school on a bus trip through Italy. I took maybe one or two CDs with me, Yield being the main one that barely left my Discman. The songs bring me back to those bus rides and the Italian countryside. Yield's artwork is also my favorite of Pearl Jam's, so much that it got me into photography. On my second trip to Italy, I happened to stumble upon the Given to Fly statue. I was walking around Rome, and there it was. I couldn't believe it. This was back before the internet was what it is today, so I had no clue where it was. I had my camera with me and tried to take the same angle as the cover. It was probably the highlight of my trip. So that's my Yield story. Thanks for such a great podcast. Thank you, Joe.
Sweet. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate that'd it, dude.
Be, man, could you imagine just walking around and then there's the statue from Yield?
Hell no, man. I'd get so many American tourist selfies with that fucking thing. Right. It's not even funny. I hate doing stuff like I don't like taking pictures in front of, I don't know why. Just feel weird and goofy and but man, I would selfie the fuck out of that thing if I just walked up upon it one day. Me and Matthew need to take a trip to Italy. Is that where you said it was? Italy?
Yeah.
Because that was Matthew's favorite artwork, was that statue.
Yeah, you're right.
Well,
speaking what do you got next?
Cool. Well, thanks again, Joe. Janon is up next. Her subject is, it's been a long time, been a long, lonely, 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 lonely time. Hi, guys. It's been a long time since the last time I wrote you. I thought a Led Zeppelin reference would be nice. I've been too busy lately. I couldn't listen to the 63rd and 64th and 65th episodes, but I listened to the Hail Hail and Yield episodes, and they were both great. The Yield episode was totally worth all the time that we waited. Matthew is such a nice person, and I liked how he, and of course you, touched upon Eddie's lyrics. As a native Turkish speaker, I miss some lyrics' meanings. For instance, I never noticed that Ed was pointing to the verb to trust in wish list. I always took it as I wish I was a verb, a word you could trust. It was a very enlightening episode to me. Thanks for that. Besides, I've listened to some of Matthew's albums and I really liked them. The Blue Cut Robbery is a very exciting project as well. Nashville is an awesome rocker. Also, it was nice to see Clint on the video. I want to keep it short and say what I have to say about Yield. Maybe I said this before, but I want to attract everyone's attention to something very special for me about Yield. On the CD booklet, there's a photo of Istanbul. It's the first photo inside the booklet next to the names of the band members. The band must have taken that photo when they came to Istanbul in 1996. It's a picture of a historical mosque named I should have practiced this first, Brad. Ordukoy Mosque.
That's why I gave it to you.
Nice. Thanks. Along the Bosphorus on the European side of the city. I showed it to Kate when she was here in June. You can see it too if you come to Istanbul to visit Istanbul. That would be awesome if we could visit Istanbul. I didn't know that's where that picture was.
I didn't
from.
Know that either. That's I was cool. That's pretty cool. Hell I was yeah. looking at the picture and I'm like, oh yeah.
Well, and I'm glad she listened to some of Matthew's stuff, because Pearl Jam's a huge influence on them, or on him, I mean. Thanks for the email, Janon.
Yeah, thank you, Janon.
Good to hear from you. What you got next?
Steve.
What's up, Steve?
Steve writes in, wow, that was a great podcast. Please don't take this the wrong way, but I can't believe you filled 2.5 hours and it was all killer. No filler. You guys filled the majority of the podcast with very insightful and meaningful discussion and barely went off topic. And if you did, you quickly got back on topic with a hard-hitting, no bullshit episode. Also loved the guest, Matthew Mayfield, and really liked his Banquet with Ghosts album. Track You Down is a great song, very Dave Matthews-like, but with an edge. And he says, again, no slight on your previous podcasts, but if they were all like this one, you guys could call yourself some pros. See Steve from Ontario.
Yeah, dude. Thanks, Steve.
Yeah.
Appreciate it, man.
I mean, do we go off topic a lot?
Brad.
I thought...
I work so hard, man. I work so hard.
Yeah.
To keep it... You know, in the guardrails, man.
Yeah.
Are you really asking me right now if we go off topic a lot?
I mean, I thought I'm always very insightful and meaningful in my half of the discussions.
Right. No, there's no argument about that. No one's saying that you aren't insightful. We're talking about tangents here. If you want to talk about tangents, that's what you should be, tangent Brad.
Well, I think even my tangents are insightful and meaningful.
You have a very self-inflated...
I don't. I know. I'm obviously being sarcastic because I hate myself.
I'm not, though. I really work hard, bro.
I know you do.
Oh, I love you.
Because I know how hard I make it for you.
Because you do it on purpose sometimes. That's how you know.
Well, I don't do it, like, purposely. I just can't help myself.
Yeah, it's an urge. It's a...
Right. Yeah.
It's
a
impulse. It's a compulsion.
Yes. Yes. I don't set out to do it. It just comes out.
I don't set out to be a dick. I'm just a dick.
It's just natural.
Yeah, yes. Oh, man, Brad.
Yeah.
Well, I guess intent counts for something, right? You're not trying to be a dick.
I'm not trying to be condescending.
I just am. I'm not trying to sound smarter than everyone. I just am.
Yeah. Why can't people realize that?
I know, dude.
Cut me some slack.
Let's move on to our last email. How about that?
All right. Yeah.
Ooh, speaking last of tangents. One.
Yeah.
All right. We've got one more email, and we've got... Sorry. I just lost my page. Here we go. From Jessica Curry. She says, "Hey, Brads. I just became a listener about 2 months ago and thought I wouldn't email until I'd caught up with all of your previous episodes. But I had to write in after last week's episode because it was an amazing dissection of my favorite album, and your enthusiasm and appreciation was obvious and authentic. I found my love of Pearl Jam when I saw them live for the first time during the Yield Tour. And subsequently, I've thought a lot about this album over the years. I'd love your perspective on the origin and meaning of the album title. Yield means, by definition, to give way, and members of the band had been quoted as saying that the meaning of the title was related to the guys yielding to the old arguments, pressures, and demands, and letting the creative process take over. However, another definition of the word yield means to produce. In my opinion, this album was a total turning point for the band. The tumultuous times of Vitology and No Code have been well documented, but the recording of Yield marked the beginning of more positive times for the band. Since Yield, the guys have been able to put out so many amazing albums and incredible live shows, and have created what seems to be an awesome synergy that has kept the band together for so many years. So what do you think? Do you also see Yield as the pivotal album that allowed them to move on to the next phase? Or am I just super nostalgic about this record because it's important to me? Anyways, thanks for letting me geek out for a minute, and thanks for an awesome episode. Can't wait till next week. Jess." Jess, I think you are right about all of it.
Definitely.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I don't think I don't think she's being super nostalgic. I think you know, Yield. If it's not people's favorite, it's not their least favorite. It's up there, you know.
Yeah, it has a consistency to it across fans. Yeah,
everyone recognizes how great this album is.
Well, I think what you hear in the music is just what she was talking about when she was kind of going through the definitions of Yield and talking about like to give way. It did feel lighter in a way.
Yeah.
The record did. And that, I don't mean anemic or weak, or I just mean you didn't hear the dissonance and the tension that you heard in No Code, you know?
Right. And the weirdness. Like, No Code is a weird album.
Super fucking weird. Yeah.
But yeah, to answer her question, I definitely think it was, like, a pivotal album that allowed them to move on, in the sense that, like, they were kind of, you know, they could have gone two different directions. You know, if they stayed with, like, the weirdness of No Code and it being, like, the Eddie show, I don't think they would have got to where they are now.
No.
Because Yield was, it was more of a commercial-type album.
Yeah, I think it ended up that way, for sure. I mean, I don't think it was, and I'm not saying you're saying this, but I don't think they went, we got to sell some records, boys.
No, I don't mean it like that. Absolutely. I know you don't mean it like that. But yeah, I mean, it was definitely, I don't know, just Eddie yielding to the rest of the band and asking for help with songwriting, that right there, you know, gives you a clue, a hint of what they were trying to do.
Well, I think it allowed him to enjoy what they do more, and not feeling the weight of everything, you know, whether that was put on him or it was self-imposed. It's like, oh, I can fucking relax a little bit because I'm in a band with some great fucking songwriters.
Right.
You know, seemed to be a little bit of a change in Eddie at that point. But he was still, that was when he was still getting nasty, though, on those live, like the Yield Tour stuff. Yeah. I love that era of Eddie.
Oh, yeah.
Oof, so good. Well, that was kind of a perfect email to end on, unless you got something else about this one.
No.
Cool. Well, thanks again, Jess. Appreciate it. Thanks to everyone that wrote in. Yeah, man, we'll be back next week. You got anything else to say before we go?
Do you want to talk about this Chris Cornell tribute concert?
Yeah, man. Announced? Yeah, once you sent me the thing, but I haven't really been able to look into it too hard. What's going on?
Chris Cornell's wife mm-hmm. has a, you know, well, they both did, but they had the Chris and Vicky Cornell Foundation. They announced that they're doing a concert, which is going to be, you know, a tribute to Chris Cornell. It's called I Am the Highway, a tribute to Chris Cornell. It's going to be at the Forum in Los Angeles in January. And it's going to have, what does it say? Performers will include members of Soundgarden, Audioslave, and Temple of the Dog, plus special performances by the Foo Fighters, Metallica, Ryan Adams, and more.
Man, you know Eddie's going to be there.
Yeah. Is he, though? I was wondering, like, it's weird that they said...
There's no fucking way someone's doing a tribute to Chris Cornell and Eddie ain't part of it.
The only thing that's weird is why doesn't it say members of Pearl Jam then? Because, I mean, technically he's not a member of Temple of the...
us to have this very conversation...
But why doesn't it say Pearl Jam? Because he's not a member of Temple of the Dog. Why would they make that distinction?
Well, but again, I think to the general public he is, because their biggest single that still gets played, he's singing on it with Chris. I think he's not technically in the band.
But. Temple of the Dog went on tour a year and a half ago, mm-hmm. 2 years ago. Eddie wasn't at those shows at all. Not even like... special surprise guest.
Well, and maybe that's why. Maybe they're saying, like, this is a... Well, I don't know why they would leave Pearl Jam out.
Oh, you know what it could be? Because they're saying members of bands that Chris was in.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
But still.
All I'm saying
Eddie,
is that...
Eddie wasn't in
maybe he won't bands. Perform, but there's no way that all those people are at... the Forum for this tribute and Eddie is not at least there hanging
yeah.
out.
Yeah, you're right. I just think it's interesting why wouldn't they put his name as
or Pearl Jam, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. But, well, it'd be cool to hear what the other, because it said and more, right? Like they didn't list everybody.
Yeah. Right.
So
yeah.
It could just be getting the word out early and maybe don't have certain confirmations from people and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's true. But tickets went on sale already. It's already sold out, so.
Yeah. I got a couple tickets. Don't worry about it.
I just hope. Oh, cool. All right. We'll see you guys there.
That'd be so awesome.
Oh, wait. Can I go?
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Kimmel's is going to be hosting.
I'm sorry. What was that?
Jimmy Kimmel's.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be hosting the show.
Why did you make Jimmy plural?
Just that's like how Walmart's I think of him.
And Targarts.
Yeah, Jimmy.
Targarts. Sometimes I Targarts? Even, is that what I just said? Targets.
Targets. Targarts. Jimmy Kimball. Is that how you say it? Jimmy Kimball. No. S.
Are you fucking with me right now? Okay. I can hear you trying not to laugh.
No, I know. It's cool. Not Jimmy Kimmel's. Jimmy Kimmel.
Well, everyone knows that.
Will host a concert.
You're just so weird, dude. You're such a weird dude. Like, what was that?
What?
Kimmel's.
That's
Kimball's.
Jimmy Kimball. Oh, man. Yeah. So that's going to be awesome. I hope they fucking show this, like, streaming or, like, an HBO special, something, because this is going to be really cool.
Yeah. Well, someone's going to record it. And I don't mean like...
I'm sure it'll
Forum,
be...
it's getting recorded. I don't mean like someone's iPhone. I mean...
Right.
Yeah, hopefully they make a DVD out of it.
So, okay, can we talk about this?
Sure.
Foo Fighters, Metallica, Ryan Adams. What do you think they're going to do? What song?
Hold on a second. You did say Metallica? I heard you say, yeah. I didn't hear you say Metallica. Sorry. That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, shit. This is going to be so good.
Some early Soundgarden?
Now, you know what? This might be a show that I would do some weird shit to get into. Now that I think about it.
Yeah.
Metallica. So say it again, what's already been announced. Metallica.
Foo Fighters, Metallica, Ryan Adams.
Okay. And more. Awesome.
And that's it.
And then more. Members so of Soundgarden, Temple of the Dog, Audio Slave.
Right.
So we got Tom Morello.
Yeah.
We got Brad and Tim. We got.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, oh, man.
Stone, Jeff.
Metallica. Whoa. Dave Grohl, Taylor Hawkins. Man, I would give a hobo a blowjob to get into that show. A blowbo. I'd give a blowbo to get into that.
Yeah, for it's going to be. Yeah.
Oh, God. Anyway.
God, Temple of the Dog. There's no way that they'll do. God, what if they do, like, there's no way they would do, like, Reach Down.
Why not?
Or Say Hello to Heaven. I mean, that would be fucking amazing.
I mean, I don't know who you're going to get to sing it. I mean, no Eddie? Offense, you know how much I love him, but, like,
Eddie.
James is not going to sing,
right?
You know, Say Hello to Heaven. Yeah, I don't know. I can't wait to find out what happens.
Yeah, it's going to be cool.
Yeah, man. Well, as always, if you guys would like to email us, the email address is singlepodcasttheory@gmail.com. You can check us out on the socials. Patreon, if you'd like to support the show past just listening to it, you can go to patreon.com/singlepodcasttheory. That's patreon.com. And find out more information there. Am I missing anything, Brad B?
I don't think so.
We all good?
We're good.
All right, man.
You good?
Well, enjoyed it. Until next week, I'm Brad Lyons.
And I'm Brad Blazek, saying, I had a false belief. I thought I came here to stay. We're all just visiting.
Woo!
Wish me pony!
Right on.
Yeah.
Later.
Be good.
All right.
Yeah.
Possibly one of the weirder episodes we've ever done.
Yeah.